And welcome to 12th Man Rising Seahawks podcast. I'm site expert, quote unquote. Not really an expert, but hey, they pay me. Lee Vowell, and I am with Kevin Daggett, who's really the expert on this show. So, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good. Expert, I don't know about that, but been a Seahawks fan for a while.
That counts. I've been a Seahawks fan as well for a while, but I'm not sure if I'm espousing any kind of information out there. But so anyway, Rashad Penny has a broke his finger. He's out 3 to 4 weeks. Should make it back by week one of the real season, which starts, of course, September 9th. Any concerns with Penny breaking his finger? He's going to play. He needs the reps at, really not with running back necessarily. He should be able to pick that up pretty well since he's been a running back his whole life, but probably needs the reps as far as pass protection, because we saw in preseason game one where he wasn't necessarily overly comfortable with that. But what are your thoughts on Rashad Penny breaking his finger and being out for the rest of the preseason at least?
Well, at least it's not a knee or a shoulder or a hip. It's just a finger. But I just hope he's not as my friend Dean Miller calls a lot of these guys were a bunch of China dolls. I mean, they break all the time. But these running backs. But I hope he's not injury prone. I hope it's no big deal. It doesn't sound like it is. But you're right. He does need the reps. I mean, there's a big difference between college and pros. So. And preseason is to get a few of those reps in. So we'll see. Hopefully he'll be back.
Yeah. And we'll get into preseason game one in just a little bit as well. But you know, that even that, that one play where he was in the backfield and Russell Wilson throws the touchdown pass to Nick, I want to call him Russell all the time. Like I know the guy. Anyway, Russell Wilson throws the pass. I don't know him to Nick Vinette, and it's like a laser beam throw. And Penny makes the block, but he misses the original block, and then he comes back and makes the block only because Russell is like, again, I'm going with Russell. Mr. Wilson has rolled out to his right and thrown the ball. So I have a feeling without a lot of practice, without a lot of preseason practice and reps, that maybe we're worried a little bit about, you know, weeks one and two and three, which we'd already talked about last week, with Penny coming back in and making blocks. Because, again, you know, we know he can run the ball and catch the ball, but really in the NFL, as you pointed out, it's a lot different than college, and you have to be able to block oncoming rushers if you're in the backfield.
Yeah, especially with that offensive line we have. They got a few missed blocks, so we don't need a running back missing blocks, too. I mean, seriously. I mean, DJ, you know, Fluker is the eclipse, but, you know, my goodness, we don't, you know.
Yeah.
My buddy sent me a picture of him today. He goes, your boy DJ Fluker. I'm like, man, that guy is an eclipse.
Yeah, he's huge. Massive human being. Can't pass block though very well so far in his career. That's one big worry. So Tyler Lockett went down today, but it looks like he just got kicked in the calf, according to Pete Carroll. So no long-term injury, but I think the thing that with Tyler Lockett going down today, even if it was just a minor thing, the scare it puts in me this season is a little bit different than it was in previous years, where, you know, Paul Richardson was there, and even though he was injury riddled often, at least he was there and he was good last year. I feel like the top end talent on the Seahawks team is so great compared to the rest of the roster. There's so little room for these players getting injured. So I get scared when any of the players who we expect to make an impact in 2018 might be injured, because the season's already kind of at a precipice as far as how confident we feel going into the season. So, you know, Tyler Lockett, obviously he's going to be okay, but I don't know if you saw that on Twitter. How much did that scare you? And just what are your thoughts on like the receiving depth? I mean, if they lost Baldwin, who of course is already out for the preseason, or Lockett, how much faith would you have that Russell has guys he can throw to and trust?
You're right. There's not much room for error in that position on the team. And you know, the thing that's even worse about Lockett is he's the kick returner, so he's a good kick returner, and he can break it loose, and he's a huge threat. And so, you know, you're losing a couple positions if he's out, and he's, you know, he got injured before and was out for a while. But and the thing that scares me about him is he's just not that big, you know. When he takes some hits, and he's just not a big guy. But yeah, I don't know. We don't really know what the I mean, we got Darbo, and you know, if Marshall makes a team. But you know, outside of you know, like I said, Baldwin and Locke, we don't have a lot of depth. So it is a concern that if both those guys are injured, we're going to have some problems.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we'll get into preseason game one in just a second as well. But, you know, backup quarterback depth was really scary. In fact, I think you intercepted that pass by Austin Davis the other night. in fact, you ran from Tennessee to Seattle to actually intercept, because that's how
right. Bad.
So the London game that the Seahawks play this year has been moved to Wembley from Tottenham Stadium. I mean, we're watching it either way. You know, it's going to be at 10 a.m. or whatever time it is. Pacific time. And you have any, I think, anyway, maybe it's 7 a.m. Oh my gosh, I have no idea. Anyway, do you like these English games? Do you like them going to London every year, several times a year? And do you think it does anything for the NFL?
I don't like it. It probably does something. It probably does something for money, but I'm not sure I see the point of it other than advertising. What are we going to, put some NFL teams in Europe now and start having games over there? Or I don't know. It's, I mean, I don't like it. I don't really see the point of it. It's, it messes with those guys. It's a huge time difference. You've got to mess with the schedules and, I don't know. I don't really see the point of it. I guess it's probably all about money, but other than that, I don't know. I guess you get the fans rooting for both teams, you know, the fans cheer either way for the majority of it, but nobody has a home field advantage. They're both screwed on the time changes, so you know, I don't know.
That's
I'm not
true.
Really a big fan of it.
Cuz they're both Pacific, you know, they're West Coast teams, so that's true. And I mean, not the 3 hours makes probably any difference at all, really, when you're having to travel wherever you're traveling from the United States. But I mean, that Pacific time, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. So preseason game one, a lot of stuff happens, mostly meaningless, especially in the second half. I mean, the Seahawks scored a late touchdown, and who cares, you know, the way it happened. And then The fact that they lost, like, you know, you pointed out last week about just the preseason records. I mean, the Cleveland Browns were 4-0 last year in the preseason. We saw what I mean, they didn't win a game. So that shows you what preseason really is means as far as wins and losses. But we did see the first team out there on, you know, defense. Some of the players stayed out there a little bit longer. First team, especially with Russell Wilson, some of the Chris Carson, for instance, he was out there a little bit longer. But most of the players, important players that we think will be important in 2018, were out pretty early. That first drive was pretty sweet, though, right? I mean, we saw that the team actually, because if you can line up and block somebody, I don't care if it's a vanilla scheme, which it was on both sides, but if you can line up and block your man, that says a lot, right? I mean, that kind of gives you a little bit of hope going into the season. And Chris Carson was fantastic, and Rashad Penny with the first team was also pretty good. He had that, you know, 6-yard run near the near the goal line. He didn't get in, but it was a pretty nifty little run. Showed a lot of speed and strength. And again, I'm just super excited about Chris Carson. What did you think about the early part of preseason game one versus the Colts?
Yeah, I thought the running backs did a good job. I mean, it's, you know, it, like, again, if they can all stay healthy, I think, you know, we'll be pretty good. And again, that may, you know, it's probably going to hurt us with Penny being out for that, you know, the whole preseason and not getting those reps. But I mean, it was pretty good showing for the, you know, for the first team for a preseason game. You know, I don't have any big takeaways or any big concerns. I tell you what, man, there's a couple big injuries. I mean, Darius Geis and a couple other guys, they're out for the season after their first preseason game. It's like, man, these things kill people. And again, my whole only hope from preseason games is nobody gets hurt.
Right. Because the games don't matter. And you know, we've got preseason game two coming up against the Chargers, and the Seahawks play the Chargers later in the in November, later in the year. But it's weird because the next three teams that they play in preseason, again, the schemes are going to be vanilla, and you're not scheming against the other team. You're just trying to work out what you have with your own team. You're not like, Andrew Luck's the quarterback, and this is how we're going to play him. Or Phillip Rivers in this case this week, you know, this is how we're going to play him, because it's totally different in the regular season than it is in the preseason. But it is still kind of weird that they play three teams that they will play in the regular season. I don't remember that being the case in previous years. Do you?
Yeah, it is. It is kind of odd. I mean, usually, you know, they play some oddball teams in the preseason, but it is kind of weird. But, you know, and they, like you said, if they're playing them in the regular season, they're not going to show much, and not that they would anyway, because it's preseason, but.
Right, you still have 90 people on the roster, and 47 of them, or sorry, 37 are not going to make the team. So, you know, what do you really take away from it? But
yeah, that's pretty much what it is. This guy's trying to make the team, but
yeah, especially in the second half. Michael Dixon had a punt where I like it. I always like it when the punter kicks it, and the punt returner is immediately sprinting backwards to try to catch the ball. And he dropped it. Of course, it was a penalty on the play. But what did you think about the punter competition, John Ryan versus Michael Dixon? Because I'll be honest, I was on two other little. I was asked to be a guest on two other shows this week, one in Oregon, and both asked about Michael Dixon, the punter that they drafted. So I thought that was a little weird. But so people care about it. People care about the competition. But what did you think about it watching? Ryan did great, but I mean, Dixon, that one pun was, man.
Yeah. And you think about it. Well, it's the punter, but the punter plays a pretty important role in football these days. And John Ryan has been real consistent. I mean, but he's got his work cut out for him with this guy. You know, I don't know what the Seahawks are thinking, if they really are thinking about replacing Ryan, or I don't know, what's he making? He's probably got to be making a few bucks.
He's over $2 million. So I mean, I actually wrote an article about that this week. As far as if you break it down based on their averages from the first game, which is conceivable, but even if Dixon ended up being dropping down to Ryan had a 46.5 yard punt. Per average yards per punt in the first preseason game, and ended up being 46.5. And if you break that down per his salary, it was $58,000 per yard in those kicks. And Michael Dixon makes 500, and this, how he makes more than you and I do. But yeah, well, let me say, I don't know what Kevin makes. Maybe he makes several million dollars. He makes more than I do. I can say that. But Michael Dixon does. But he makes a little over $500,000. So if you break it down to $11,000 per yard per punt. So it just makes financial sense for them to keep Dixon, especially when Dixon actually seems like the better punter. And even if they were equal, it makes more financial sense because, like you said, you know, Ryan makes some buck. So cutting him actually makes room for other players of need and areas of need on the roster. So it is interesting. I mean, I think the Seahawks are going about it the way the Seahawks do. They, you know, I think they're a good organization. That's one of the reasons I'm a fan of the organization, is because I think for the most part they do treat their players well, and they treat them with respect. Again, we talked about last week, you know, Cam Chancellor, and I felt like they treated him with respect because everybody assumed he wasn't really going to come back this year, and they still guaranteed a salary of $12 million over the next 2 years. That says a lot, because there's a lot of teams out there who have been like, man, I could use that $12 million somewhere else. But, you know, with John Ryan, they've kept him around, and they seem to be honest about the competition. And Michael Dixon's first punt, you know, he came out there and it was only, what, a 30-something yard punt. And it was down inside the 15. I guess my hopes were this is the god of punters, and he would down it inside the 10 or the 5 or whatever. Still was a good punt. But then that just – he annihilated the ball from the 7-yard line. It was 60 – because he averaged 50 yards a punt. You take away that first punt with 37 yards. That means he's averaging nearly 60 yards a punt. on those next two. And that's insane.
See, but John Ryan's got some intangibles, though. He can throw the ball and catch the ball. So, I mean, he's got some fake kick
because he just kind of throws it up in the air.
Yeah. He's got some proven other talents, you know. So we got to look at the versatility of the guy and what he's proven he can do. So,
he's a good human being. Let's put that out there too. I mean, everything we read about him or know about him in the community, he seems to be a really good guy, and that, I think that's important too.
Yeah, and he's Canadian, so you know, there's that.
That's right. That's why they got rid of Luke. Too many Canadians.
That's right. Too many Canadians on the team. Need some more Europeans since we're going to London to.
Had to make room for an Australian, so they got rid of the tight end Canadian. So Shaquem Griffin, last count, had 375 tackles in preseason game one. Was it just a matter of him playing and being active? I mean, in coverage, he wasn't that great. But what did you think about Shaquem's first game, really, scrimmage or whatever, in the NFL?
Pretty impressive. I mean, the guy gets out there, makes tackles, and not afraid to hit people. I was pretty impressed with that. I mean, regardless of who he was playing against, it's the NFL. So it's NFL, it's preseason. But, man, he's out there hitting people. What do you have? Yeah, it's what, six solo tackles or something? I mean, it was.
Yeah, nine tackles overall. And I think was it six or eight? I mean, most of them were solo tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed with that.
So, and Rasheem Green, of course, had to, to me, it was really two sacks, but it was a sack and a half because he also shared it with another rookie, actually. And one was against the second drive of the Colts, and Andrew Luck was still the quarterback. So the offensive line still was really the players you're going to see most of the season for the Colts. And I thought getting that sack on the second drive against the Colts was very promising. He got another, again, half sack later in the game, which meant, you know, it was playing against guys like me, you know, like a 5'9", buck 65. Hey, I'll try to block you. But I mean, I thought what he did with his speed, I thought that was very promising, especially when you know what's going to happen with Deion Jordan. If you were to start two defensive ends week one, and again, it's preseason, but we can't trust Deion Jordan at this point. Would you start Rasheem Green and Frank Clark as your ends at this point?
Yeah, I would. That guy's a beast. I mean, he is, man, scary.
Yeah. And that what was scary was the backup quarterback situation. Because even with Austin Davis, he came in, he was 4 or 5. But the one, I mean, they really should have scored. I'm trying to say this where it sounds. The pass he threw, no NFL quarterback should ever throw. That he threw in the end zone. I don't know what he was looking at. I don't know why he threw it the way he threw it. That ball was so easily interceptable. It was ridiculous. And that's not a guy we can trust, you know, if Russell were to go down. We can't trust Austin Davis. And Magoo, you know, he came in. He showed flashes of very raw talent. And then he showed flashes of this guy should be on the practice squad, nowhere near playing an NFL snap for real. So, you know, we're back to the question of, are these the guys that we really want to trust as a backup quarterback? Because we're starting to run out of luck, maybe in a way. Russell Wilson plays every game, almost every down in the entire year. And that's just not in the NFL today. Quarterbacks just don't last every season, every game. I mean, even if he misses 5 games, God forbid, we can't have one of these guys coming in as a backup, right? The solution has to be elsewhere than these two, right?
I think it does. But the thing is, if Wilson does go down for a significant amount of time, then they'd obviously look at somebody else. But I mean, you're right. Wilson, the way he plays, the way he runs, the way he gets hit, he's prone to you know, to get smacked around and get injured. But yeah, I don't know. There's, you know, you can't spend a lot of money when you're paying your quarterback as much as we're paying ours. You can't pay a backup quarterback a lot of money. So, you know, I guess probably have to go with what we got. And then if he does, God forbid, if he does go down, then, you know, look somewhere else, look for a Johnny Manziel or something like that. But
wow, that's a scary thought. That's horrifying. I didn't know you were going to go there.
I didn't need it. I just thought about that. I saw something on Twitter or something about his what he threw, three or four interceptions in his first half of his first game in the Canadian League.
Is that what he did? I didn't actually see what he ended up doing.
Something stupid like that.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen names thrown about, you know, besides Colin Kaepernick, which is the obvious one, but I don't think that's a realistic one. Jay Cutler and players like that, you know, who could come in. I mean, Cutler is, he's not going to win.
He's such a leader. He's such an energy and leader quality about him. He'd fit in right well.
He's very effervescent. He's still a better answer than Magoo or Davis.
Yeah,
you know, at this point, there's a lot of, I don't know, that sophomore quarterback for Alabama is probably a better quarterback at this point. No offense to Magoo and Davis. I'm sure they're fine people. And Magoo might end up being fine. And I mean, he's just so raw. He's not anywhere near. And they just shouldn't have him as the backup quarterback going into 2018, because that guy might actually have to play real snaps, and he shouldn't. Unless they're just putting somebody on the roster as the backup, thinking, well, if something actually does happen, we will look somewhere else. We're not going to pay somebody, you know, up front, obviously, to bring them in until the time just has to be. And maybe that's the case.
There's a big difference between, hey, he's the backup quarterback, and, hey, he might have to play someday.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's true. And you know, the offensive line, I thought early on, George Fant actually, even as a replacement, came in, looked decent, but I thought the offensive line looked okay. I mean, you know, again, it's a vanilla scheme, but in run blocking, I thought they were able to, how exciting was it that they picked it up on 4th and 1 and with Chris Carson, and maybe gained 2 yards, but that's not something they would have probably done the last 2 years. I thought that was really nice, because that's just man-on-man, I'm blocking you, and we're getting this yard, which I thought was very promising. And Ifedi didn't have 6 or 7 penalties, so that's also promising, correct?
Yeah, it is. I think he's still on the watch list, though, because, you know, we'll see, especially if Fant or somebody else, you know, does a good job, and Ifedi does go back to his usual suspect performance.
Yeah, I Posick and Brown, that side, that left side of the line, I think that's a really, as long as they both stay healthy for the entire season of 2018, I think that's extremely nice to have. I think Russell will feel a lot more comfortable, especially rolling. If he has to roll, he'll roll to that side. You know, it's not his natural side, since he's right-handed. He wants to roll right most of the time, but just the confidence that he must have in that side of the line is something he hasn't had at all with any part of the line since he's been the quarterback. So that's got to be comforting to the guy who's the most important player on the Seahawks, right?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Yeah, that's you need good protection on that side of the line. So. And he's got it right now. The other side, we'll see.
So preseason, that's great. Preseason game 2. This is live, by the way. We don't edit this. Preseason game 2 versus the Charger at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. So another kind of late game if you're watching from the East Coast, and still kind of late even on Pacific time, because, you know, used to seeing games end at 7, so start at 7 for the most part. You know, the starters are going to go a little bit longer into the second quarter, probably, maybe even towards closer to the half, depending, because second and third week of preseason are really where the starters get most of their reps in, and especially in that third game. The fourth game, they may not play at all. So what are you looking for in preseason game 2? Because we're not going to see Baldwin, we're not going to see Penny. We're going to be missing some more players than we obviously missed in game 1 of the preseason. So what are you looking forward to most? The punting competition again?
Yeah, punting competition, and then it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the wide receivers do. Because if Baldwin's not playing, we'll see if Lockett's up. But, you know, maybe somebody might earn a job. And then, you know, just watching that defensive backfield, see who's going to win the jobs there. I mean, there's quite a few people that are you know, on the injured list right now. I think some of them are minor injuries, but or maybe they just say they're injuries. But you know, there's a lot of people getting dinged up. So I'm just, I hope we'll see some. Hopefully, see somebody win a job. You know, and just again, say it every time. Just don't get hurt.
Right. Right. Yeah, one thing I meant to ask you about, going back to preseason, the first preseason game, is Trey Flowers played 31 snaps and had a lot of balls thrown his way. What did you think about him? Do you think he did okay?
I think he did good. He's a pretty good player. I mean, he's holds his own, and I think he's got to step up, and I think he is. But I like the kid. I like Justin Coleman too.
Oh, Coleman, yeah. In the limited time he played, he was fantastic. Yeah. And so was Griffin, really. So I think, you know, as far as the secondary, I think we're going to be a cornerback anyway. There's a lot of good things that I saw from preseason game one that will translate into the season, and I think cornerback is going to be safe. It's the safety position that kind of worries me a little bit if there's no Earl. I mean, we did see, you know, Tedrick Thompson play, and he made some tackles, but I'm not totally sold on him being a starter yet.
I'm kind of hoping. I mean, you know what, this Earl Thomas stuff going on, it's hopefully some of these younger guys are going, hey, you know what, I got an opportunity here to step up and make this team and make an impact on this team. And, you know, hope maybe somebody will do that. And then Earl Thomas will be a non-factor. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. I mean, Earl Thomas is a tough one to replace, just like every one of those Legion of Boom guys. But still, if you got a guy out there that wants it bad enough and, you know, he takes the opportunity and says, well, I'm going to take advantage of Earl Thomas sitting out and earn myself a spot and see what I can do. So I'm hoping somebody does that.
Yeah, that's the best case scenario, really. I mean, if Earl Thomas decides to keep holding out and then some other player plays so well that maybe he's not Earl Thomas, but he's a pretty decent replacement, and Earl decides, oh, I'm not coming back, and the Seahawks are like, oh, okay, we're going to be okay without you. That would be best case scenario. And we might see that. Well, I think we will see that play out over the next couple of weeks as well. So, yeah. You know, Chargers are going to come in. They're going to do the same thing the Seahawks are. They're going to play their starters for a little bit. Doesn't matter who wins or loses. I mean, the Seahawks could go 0-4 in the preseason. They won't, but they could go 0-4 in the preseason. And, you know, it won't make any difference because the real games start in September. Any final words, final thoughts, Kevin?
Not really. It's just exciting to see. I always just like these young guys trying to fight for a job, and there's always somebody that steps up that you don't expect to and wins a job and makes a difference on a team. So that's always exciting to me.
Awesome. Well, as always, you have the final two words of the podcast.
Go Hawks.